Here we go. Welcome, listeners. I'm Julian Fleischer. This is the Naked American Songbook. My producers and I are concocting a super special season number 3. We've already had some very great guests.
I mean, when a song is working, it's like a complete dream and a world that it takes you into, and a story that has a middle and an end and characters and all the feelings of everything that you could feel, you know, in 3 or 4 minutes.
I won't tell you who that is if you don't already know, but stay tuned and get subscribed to hear more from that Naked American conversation. But today, we're going to celebrate the genius of someone whose ghost has happily haunted our Naked American halls on many occasions. She is a great friend to the Great American Songbook. Have you met Miss Simone? Think of this less as a mass in the key of soul and the blues, and more as a short reading from a prayer book, the chapter Letters to Nina Simone. Singer, songwriter, activist. For many of my friends here on the Naked American Songbook, Nina Simone is a holy trifecta, the alpha, beta, and omega, the beginning, the middle, the end. Writer Germaine Greer once said, "Every generation has to discover Nina Simone. She is evidence that female genius is real." And that's why I'm so happy to have such a colorful array of characters all proclaiming their love and admiration for Miss Nina Simone. If you love right, heaven belongs to you. If you love right. If you love right. Did you know that Mr. Spock himself, Zachary Quinto, is a Nina Simone fan?
Nina Simone? Love Nina Simone.
Can you tell me why?
Have you ever seen the videos of her at the Montreux Jazz Festival?
I have.
Yeah, that almost a decade of her performing at the Montreux Jazz Festival. I just feel like she was such a fraught and vulnerable and troubled genius. And her music and her...
And the troubledness draws you to her?
It does, yeah, of course. I feel like, yeah, it defines some of the best artists in the world.
Watching Nina Simone in those videos especially, you sort of have a sense that she's like a panther, you know, like stalking the audience from
totally.
The stage. Like when you see a wild animal right behind the glass and you know, like, if it weren't for this glass, this creature could eviscerate me.
And she did musically. I mean, she really, because she was so dexterous and she could do anything.
Yes. And often it was an expression of that.
Yeah. And she, you know, unfortunately, I feel like those demons kind of overtook her genius, but...
Demons that overtook her genius. She got screwed.
Yeah, she did. It's true.
You know, her demons were not only inner ones. There is somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone to watch over me. While Nina Simone did have a reputation as a brilliant and tortured artist, there were so many more notes in the richly augmented chord that is this legendary singer-songwriter, and you can hear them all in her contributions to the songbook. I got a witness to that from another one of my season 2 guests, Broadway powerhouse Tonya Pinkins.
Got it. My favorite Nina Simone is 4 Women.
Well, tell me about how you come to Nina Simone.
Nina Simone was someone who I knew nothing about, and I think the first time I ever came to Nina Simone was Sinner Man on the remake of the Thomas Crown Affair movie.
These guys with bowler hats.
All over the goddamn place.
Oh, Sinner Man, where he gonna run to? Sinner Man, where he gonna run to?
we're gonna run to. And when I bought that album, I was like, who is this? And so then I started listening to other songs, and I ended up doing a reading of For Colored Girls, where we used four women. I was, gosh, and I've just fallen madly in love with her since. Just, oh, the way she orchestrates, the way she's taking all of her classical training and making arrangements over standards, and she's an extraordinary, extraordinary artist.
Yeah. True genius. The word actually applies.
Yes.
And she has a shaman-like quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's incantorial when she sings. It's like she's calling up stuff from deep down below and above, you know, in a way that's, I don't know, I don't think anybody else really does.
Mm-hmm.
And her voice is strange. It's not exactly conventionally beautiful. You're not going to confuse it with...
But it's the kind of voice I like. Like, she's telling stories every song.
Right.
She's telling a story. Nina Simone is a storyteller.
Yeah.
And her voice is, like, just pulling stuff out of her guts.
Mm-hmm. She was angry. She was hurt. She spent a lot of her life being...
Yeah, she couldn't get into the classical schools because she was a black woman.
Right.
She had a hard time. She had a hard road to hoe.
It's anger transformed into beauty.
The only appropriate response to abuse is creativity.
Oh, my God. And there's my ringtone. There's my new ringtone. All right, so let's listen then to my friend Tanya Pinkins' choice of a Nina Simone song for women.
My skin is black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia.
That was Nina Simone, the late great, recording, composing, singing for women.
Brought to you today by Tanya Pinkins, a woman who herself is at least four women.
At least four women.
Among my season two guests, NPR's Ari Shapiro had perhaps the strongest connection to a Nina Simone recording.
When I first moved to Washington, D.C., I was living in this studio apartment that I shared with some woman I had met on Craigslist. I was sleeping on the pullout sofa. I had this unpaid internship. I had no money. And I had this crappy old CD alarm clock that went off every morning with the same first track from the same CD. I never changed it. So for months and months and months and months, every Monday through Friday, I woke up to the exact same song. And much like the Sammy Davis Jr. version of Mr. Bojangles, which took something that had qualities of its own and made it something just exquisitely beautiful, this track did that for me. And it's Nina Simone singing Here Comes the Sun.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all right.
comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. It's all right, little darling. It's been a long, cold and lonely winter, little darling. It feels like years since you've been here. Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. It's all right.
You've never listened to this track before?
I haven't.
That's Nina Simone singing Here Comes the Sun, a song that I woke up to every morning for months back when I was an unpaid intern at NPR.
That must fill you with a kind of Proustian sense of
I was just thinking that, like,
perdu.
It's possible to have a bad day after you've woken up to a song like that, but it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder to have a bad day after you've woken up to a song like that. That song helps me reset perspective. It's a way of saying, everything's okay. Let's do this. Another day is starting. And for some reason, the Beatles' version of that song doesn't do that for me. Nina Simone does.
I see. It's all right.
Of course, it's not possible to agree on what was her greatest hit, but my friend Leah Delaria had one in mind.
Oh, her version of I love me, Porgy. I love you, Porgy. I love me some Porgy. That's what it's called. I love you, Porgy is so unbelievable. I just think it's one of the most amazing things ever recorded.
There's something sacred about it.
Yeah. And just the ease with which she's playing the piano while she's singing this is just...
And I'm always excited by how she's willing to use her classical training in her jazz playing and explore corners of these things that nobody else
would. Only a couple people that have ever done that, you know, and I think she's amazing. Come on, when she goes, Porgy, doesn't that make you, you almost tear up hearing it? You believe every ounce of her loves Porgy.
You should cast a spell.
Yeah. Oh, Nina Simone, I love you so much. Do I love her so much? What can I say?
Oh, I love Nina Simone. Thank you, Nina. And thank you for listening. Please get out there and find us on Les Media Sociale. That's where you'll find links to those Montreux Jazz Festival performances that entranced Zach Quinto. And leave a review or a comment. Share the show. It's so simple to do. It's the click of a button. Let us know your favorite recordings of Nina Simone. Make sure you and all your naked friends are subscribed to this podcast. And while we're cooking up season 3, we'll throw up a few extras and previews for you in the meantime. An amuse-bouche, if you will. And I do hope you will. The Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC Studios, and WQXR in New York City. Our team includes Aaron Dalton, Ellie Smerling, Hilary Bonhomme, and Mike Shobe. I, of course, remain, as ever, yours, Julian Fleischer. You keep it naked.